going to do things a little bit differently from usual this morning. I'm not going to expound a particular passage of Scripture as such, but to share some thoughts that arise from a particular phrase. And it's the phrase, the title of the sermon that's on your service sheet this morning. The question, what have I done? I just want to spend a few minutes this morning turning that question over and leaving it with you as something to think about over the coming days. What have I done? Well, we're at the end of a year, and it's always a good time to reflect on what's happened in the year gone by. And so a question like that may suggest some of the things that you've accomplished during this past year. Some of you have got married. That's a fairly major milestone in your life. Some of you have increased the size of your family. A baby's been born to you. Some of you have moved house, not once, but twice. Others of you have travelled the world more than once, too. Lots of things have gone on in your lives this year. And as you ponder, what have I done, some of those things may come into your mind. And you may come to the end of this year with a sense of having accomplished rather a lot during this past year. But that's not really the focus I want you to have as you think about this question. What have I done? Rather, I want you to think more in terms of the context that this question comes in the book of Jeremiah. And in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 6, we have this question, what have I done? But God is quoting these words here, and he is saying, people are not asking, what have I done? I listened and heard, but they do not speak aright. Jeremiah quotes God as saying in Jeremiah 8 and verse 6. No man repented of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turned to his own course as the horse rushes into the battle. Now these words here that Jeremiah writes were spoken to the people of Israel. They were spoken during the days when God's promised oppression was coming upon the land because they had turned from their God to worship false gods. The sacrifices that they offered were unacceptable. Many of them were improper sacrifices, even to the extent of offering their sons and daughters in the fire to God. Something that God said had never even crossed his heart. Never thought of such a thing being done. But those things were being done in Israel. And the sacrifices that they were offering to God, the sacrifices that had been stipulated in the law of the Levites, Malachi tells us that those sacrifices were done improperly. And people weren't asking the question, what have I done? What have I done with the things that God has taught me? What have I done with the instructions that God has given me? And so I want you to think about this question this morning as you review the past year and to ask yourself, what have I done? We began the year here at Grace Baptist Church in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, where we looked at the race set before us. And where I challenged you to, during 2004, to run that race with perseverance. To mark out the course that God had set for you. A course of holiness, of righteousness, of worship for him, of obedient service to him. That was the first sermon of the year. And now I'm asking you to ask this question. What have I done about that? Have I been running that race? Have I done it with perseverance? Have I done it with consistency? Have I done it in a way that is honouring to God, that has glorified him? We continued our year with a series of sermons on the local church. And one of the recurring themes that came through that series was the necessity of unity within the church, of partnership in the gospel of Jesus Christ, of a need to work together, to love one another, to care for one another, to pray for one another, to minister to one another, and then to the world around us, to the community, and even further afield in the support of missionaries. And I want you over the coming days to think, what have I done in response to that series of sermons? Through what the Lord taught me there about the local church, what difference has it made to my life? What have I done about those truths that I have learned? Has it made any difference? Am I walking more closely with my God? Am I more loving, more united with my fellow brothers and sisters in the church? What have I done? We went on to a series of sermons on the book of Esther. And one of the key things that we learned there was the sovereignty of God in our lives. That He is always with us, whatever the circumstances of our lives may be. God is with us. He is caring for us. He is using those circumstances for His larger plan. We may not understand our circumstances. We may have lots of questions. Why is this happening to me? But we can be confident in the fact that God has His plan and purpose. And as Mordecai said to Esther, who knows whether God has placed you in this position for such a time as this? And I want you to think and to ponder those lessons that we learned as we went through the book of Esther and say, well, what have I done? Has it made any difference to me? When those questions arise in my mind and there doesn't seem to be an answer, how have I responded? How have I reacted to the problems, to the difficulties, to the pressures of my life? Have I been content in God's sovereign providence? Have I rested upon His loving care? Have I looked for the larger picture and tried to understand how God may have placed me in a particular situation at a particular time to fulfill His will and His purpose? What have I done with those kinds of traumatic situations that don't seem to have any ready answer? And we've been through the book of Philippians, and how much we've seen in that book again of the need for unity within the church, the need to be faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, the need to observe His work, that He is the one who will be faithful to complete the work that He has begun in us. That we are to count our lives as being given over to Christ as a sacrifice for Him. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. To look forward to that day when we will be with Christ in glory, but not to be so focused on that day that we forget to live for Him in this life. To look out for those opportunities to show love and concern to our fellow believers in the local church and further afield. So many ways to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and to glorify Him so that those around us see our lights shining in the community. And they learn to praise and glorify the Father in heaven. I have to ask you, what have you done with that? What have I done with the things I've learned as I've gone through that letter of Paul to the Philippians? Has it made any difference to me? Has it made any difference to you? Those of you who are visiting from other churches, you've been Sunday after Sunday to your home churches, Emmanuel Church, to the Grace Presbyterian Church in Wellington. What have you done with the things you've learned? Have you grown in grace, in love for the Lord, in determination to walk in his ways, to honour and glorify God. God says here, these people haven't asked, what have I done? They haven't repented when they've considered their lives and seen how far removed they are from my instructions. The thought hasn't crossed their mind to ask, what have I done? And to change their lives. They've just gone careering on like a horse rushes into battle. Everyone turns to his own course. Has your year been like that? With all the good things you've read in God's Word, with all the rich information you've heard from God's Word through the preached services, have you just careered on in your life, ignorant and careless of the reality of future judgment? As Paul's letter to the Romans tells us, we need to be clear on this fact that God will call us to account. What have I done? But we can take this further. This question certainly isn't only for those who are seen as being part of the Church of Jesus Christ, part of the covenant people of God, as these people to whom Jeremiah was writing. But we see here in these words and in the surrounding context that these were the people who would turned their back on God. Weren't really interested in obeying the living God according to his precepts. And so I ask those of you who are not Christians here this morning, what have you done in 2004 that could possibly bring you peace with God? That could possibly give you hope for the future? That when you do stand before God on the last day, that you will be okay, that you will be safe. Do you ever ask that question? And when you walk persistently in unbelief and without repentance of your sins, does this question ever cross your mind? Do you ever think, oh, what have I done? And I call upon you this day and in the coming days to ponder this. What have you done? With the many times that most of you here this morning have heard the message of salvation, that Jesus Christ, God's own Son, came into this world as a baby in Bethlehem, as we've just celebrated yesterday, and grew up through childhood and adolescence into manhood as a perfect person, without spot, without blemish, without any sin, and died on the cross to pay the price of the sins of his people. What have you done with that truth? And when you've been called to turn from your sins and to trust in this Saviour, what have you done with that? Have you said, well, I'll leave it for another day, another week, another month, another year. I'm too busy at this time. I've got too much going on at this time. I'm having too much fun at this time. These are somber questions. I'll deal with them when I'm in the mood. What have you done with Christ, with the gift of God in Jesus Christ? Or maybe you'll say, well, you know, I'm just waiting for God to make these things more clear to me, more certain for me, that I'm one of those that Jesus came and died on the cross to save. That this message that you teach is something that's for me. What are you doing with God's invitation to simply come? Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in him and you will be saved. There's nothing else you need to do. No greater certainty than what's written in this book, the Bible. Take God at his word and believe in him and entrust your life to him and he'll take care. of you? What have you done with the Saviour of sinners? This is a question we need to be asking. Not just at the end of the year, but continually throughout the year. What have I done? You know, so often we ask a different question. A question that is found in Daniel, the book of Daniel. And it's a question that Nebuchadnezzar talks about after he's been through his humiliating experience of living like a beast after being cast from the throne of the world superpower. And after he has repented of his sin and called out to God and God has restored him, he says in his praise to God that his dominion is an everlasting dominion and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And no one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" And here's the thing. So often we ask the question of God, "What have you done?" Rather than asking, "What have I done?" We point the accusing finger at God and say, "What have you done? What do you think you're doing in my life? Spoiling my plans, upsetting my dreams. Why aren't you a more caring God to me? Why don't you do things the way I want you to do them?" And that's the kind of attitude that we have towards God so often. Rather than thinking, "What have I done to please God? To worship God, to serve God with my life. He is the Creator. He is the one that does according to His will. No one can restrain His holy hand. And no one ultimately can stand before Him with an accusing finger pointing at Him saying, "What have you done?" But everyone, one day, will with head bowed say, "What have I done with my life? What have you done in 2004?